wins us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, listen to me. Marrying my wife, Vicky, 38 years ago, has been one of the richest, hardest, most life-changing, sin-revealing decisions that I ever made. You see, our marriage hasn't always been wonderful. We've been married 38 years now, but we had some really rocky years in the early days of our marriage. And so we're talking about how could you get your marriage to thrive? I'm your host, Brad Digney, and I know something about the pain and misery and disillusionment that you can face in marriage. Even if you're both Christians, even if you met at a Bible college, even if you both grew up in church and were saved at an early age, that's our story. And yet, we desperately needed God's grace to get us off the path we were on and on to a better one. So that's what we're talking about. How could your marriage thrive? Just a few years into our marriage, Vicky looked at me and said, "I don't love you anymore. I have no feelings for you." And we tried to get help, but we were so stuck. She said, "I'm not going to divorce you because we're both Christians, but this is how miserable I am." And so listen, if your marriage is not anything like what you thought it would be, or could be, or should be for the glory of God, and you don't see anything changing anytime soon, I've got hope for you. That yes, things can be different. So I want to stop and pray as we start our show today, because I know there has to be someone listening right now that's hurting today. People that are disillusioned and tired, somebody that's lost hope that things could ever be different, and probably somebody who's ready to quit. So let me pray for you right now, my friend. Oh God, I pray that you would pour out your grace on each listener today. I know what it feels like. I've sat where they're sitting today. I know some of the heartache, disillusionment, disappointment. Bring your mercy to bear on each one listening. Do what only you can do by your grace and for your glory and because of your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Digney. And I want to talk some more about what would take our marriage from just staying alive or just survive to thrive. Well, it must be something that people truly want help on. Because go into any bookstore and you'll find the marriage and relationship section is humongous. In fact, with Amazon now, full confession, I order almost all my books on Amazon. It's so easy. It's so fast. And I love books. But did you know that Amazon, out of 33 million titles now, that's how many books they carry, more than 100,000 titles had to do with marriage. Not just relationship, marriage. 100,000 titles. And publishers will tell you, it does not matter how many marriage books are already out, people will buy another one. Because people are looking for help and hope in this area of marriage. They're looking for answers. They're looking for a breakthrough. They're looking for a way to get unstuck. But I want you to get a hold of this in our show. There is a book that so often goes neglected, even by Christians. Oh, they throw it in the back window area of their car so it'll be handy for Sunday, next Sunday. They keep it on the coffee table. Maybe it's on the bedside table. Guess what they don't do? Open it and read it. It's called the Bible. And it is not a dusty, antiquated book about way people way back then living places we've never been, doing things we can't relate to. Oh, not true at all. When you read the Bible, my friend, it is so relevant. You'll find yourself saying, wow, that is just like we still are today. Why? Because the author is God. He knows us, He created us, and He knows what it takes to make a marriage thrive. So I'm calling you back to God's word for the answers on how to take a marriage and help it to thrive. What I want to talk about today is that you might have to say goodbye to the fairy tale. You realize we grow up in a culture with movies and paperback books and notions and ideas and things that are presented to us that just have no correlation to reality. Marriage is good. It is a gift from God, but it is hard. It's not a fairy tale. It's worth it, but it's hard. So just like we talked about in a previous episode or two, you got to have the right foundation. Guess what else is necessary for your marriage to thrive? You want it to thrive, you're going to have to say goodbye. If you keep holding on to a fairy tale notion of what you think it has to be or should be, it'll never thrive. So let me ask you, why did God even give us marriage? Was it for companionship, procreation, love, to make your dreams come true, to make you happy, to give you a self-esteem boost? God teaches us that marriage was created, yes, to provide companionship, and yes, to fill the earth through procreation. But there are some other purposes that I want you to get a hold of that you don't find tucked down into any fairy tale notion of marriage. Here's the first thing. Number one, do you realize God uses marriage to conform us to the image of Christ? Now, as you hear that, I hope you think of in terms of a diamond under pressure, raw, being hammered on, cut. It turns out to be something glorious with color and cut and carat. But it goes through a process that's painful. You think about any kind of process with a furnace and smelting and burning off the dross, and you've got something wonderful, precious metal left. But the process was painful. You think about an anvil and heat and a heavy hammer and banging. Oof. The end result is usually something beautiful and useful, but the process was painful. It is beautiful when you become more like Christ, but the process is indeed painful. And so God uses one of the top purposes of marriage. We don't come into marriage asking for it, expecting it, looking for it, but God saw it all along and wishes we had it on our radar. He gives us marriage to conform us to the image of Christ. And so what that means is you can't become more like Christ until He first helps you see who you really are, where you really are, and how far you actually fall short. In other words, marriage heightens the exposure of our sin. And we don't like that. We immediately push back and blame it on our spouse. I wasn't like that until I married you. I was never like this until I married you. I was never impatient. I never got angry. You realize that's never true. No one makes you anything. No one makes me anything. They expose me. You just got exposed. There was enough pressure at close range that what was in your heart, who you were, came bubbling up to the surface and out. Marriage heightens the exposure of our sin because it's two sinners at close range doing this thing called marriage. Close proximity to other sinners brings sin to the surface in shocking and startling ways, even to us. It was always there and may have looked like a small hairline fracture in your character, but the strain of relating in the most intimate way with another human being aggravates that sin until it looks like a gaping chasm. So marriage forces us to see what we haven't been seeing about ourselves. And we don't like that. We'd rather look at other people. We'd rather blame. We'd rather point. We'd rather make them the project that needs to be worked on. We'd rather pray about them. Oh, God, help her. Oh, God, help him. But God wants us to see our own sin and stop making excuses for us. It forces us to consider things about ourselves that we just had not grappled with as much as we should have. Oh, I remember before I got married and I was single And I just played my guitar in the woods for hours worshiping God. I would lock myself in a storage closet and pray for hours. I thought that I was very loving, Christ-like, godly, committed to his kingdom. And I was passionate. Don't hear me saying it's not good that I had a passion for prayer and that I love to worship. But I got to tell you, I was ignorant of my own heart. I was oblivious to who I really was and what was going on. I actually was not loving and patient or selfless and others focused. I liked my schedule. I liked a lot of margin in my life. I liked people not messing with my stuff or getting in my way. I liked making a schedule and following my schedule. And marriage just wrecked all of that. And at first I went to war against sweet Vicky, thinking she's in my way. She's messing up this sweet fellowship that I've had with God all these decades before I married her. But praise God, after 2 or 3 years, he broke my heart and helped me to see what I wasn't seeing about me that I'd never grappled with. And it wasn't fun. It was not fun, but listen to me. Oh, it was life-changing, transforming, took me to a place I'd never been. Oh, you're listening to Thrive? I'm Brad Bigney, and we're talking about how you might need to say goodbye to the fairy tale if you're gonna ever experience what God meant for your marriage to be and to see it thrive.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney in just a moment as he continues to talk about walking through those tough early years of marriage. And it reminded me of another resource that we have available that can help you walk through those same challenges. And this resource, absolutely free of charge. It's available on Fortis Plus right now. It's Conflict by Todd and Dr. John Street. Look, conflict is not an if question in marriage. It's a when question. And this resource will help you walk through step-by-step how to handle disagreements in a way that can transform your home from what feels like maybe a torture chamber into probably one of the sweetest places on earth. Conflict. It's available free on Fortis Plus right now. And speaking of transformation, something exciting is happening here at Fortis Institute. Look, we're living in what feels like a brave new world. We say it all the time. And of course, that demands a brave new response. And that's why we've brought together all of these new voices that we talk so much about all the time. I'm talking about Tim Challies. I'm talking about Pastor Brad Bigney, who you're listening to right now. Dr. John Kratz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Andrew Walker, and others. These are some of the top voices in Christianity today, and they've come together to tackle the challenges that we as Christians face today. And you can get daily access to all of the content that they are producing absolutely free at Fortis Plus. Just log on to fortisplus.org right now, or you can download the mobile app on your mobile device. Just sign up for an account and you've got access to hundreds of hours of audio and video content. 7 new audio and video posts every single day, including a director's cut from our fellows director, Jason. And those will make a real difference in your life, trust me. And something else I want to talk to you about is about becoming a gospel partner with us here at Fortis Institute. Look, this is not just me asking for your support. It's really not. Look, if you haven't figured it out yet, we're trying to be on the front lines of a cultural battle, standing firm for biblical truth, while many other ministries have been compromising. Your partnership doesn't just keep the lights on around here, though we do appreciate not having to work in the dark. It's an investment in equipping Christians to stand strong in their faith, helping marriages thrive, strengthening local churches, and proclaiming the gospel boldly in a world that desperately needs it. And I know there are tons of worthy ministries out there, but what makes Fortis Institute unique is our unwavering commitment to biblical fidelity combined with grace and kindness in how we deliver the truth. We're not just creating content, we're building a community of believers who are committed to standing firm in their faith. And when you become a gospel partner, you're joining a mission that's bigger than any one of us. You're helping us to equip saints and strengthen local churches with solid biblical teaching. So the truth is, we can't do it alone. Every resource we create, every program we produce, every soul
we reach is only possible because of gospel partners just like you. And if you would prayerfully consider joining us in this mission, we would be eternally grateful. Just head over to FortisInstitute.org right now to learn more about what it would look like in your life to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And now let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney as he continues to talk about walking through those early years of marriage. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney. And we have begun to talk about how you just might need to wave goodbye to something before you'll see your marriage thrive. And that's that fairy tale that sometimes we come into marriage with. We got it from sitcoms, we got it from movies, we got it from books. Maybe we got it from someplace else in the culture, but we brought in this notion of this fairy tale version of marriage. And until you say goodbye to what you're clinging to, God can't fill your hands with something better. You want to see your marriage thrive? Lay down what you've been clinging to and say, God, I want what you want. Show me. You're the one that gave us marriage. You're the one that thought of it. You said it's good. Show me what I've not understood about marriage and show me what I'm not seeing about me. And so, as we say goodbye to the fairy tale, I've told you that number one, God uses marriage to conform us to the image of Christ, to make us more like Christ, not to just make you blissfully happy, not to make all your dreams come true, not that your spouse would simply fulfill you. God designed marriage to make you and your spouse more like Jesus, which means he's going to expose your sin. You can't get to a better place until you first honestly reckon with where you are. Wow, I'm not as loving as I thought. I'm not as patient as I thought. I'm not as selfless and other-focused as I thought. And so marriage exposes our sin and causes us, or should cause us, to cry out to God. It's an opportunity to cry out to God. What we typically do is we cry out to our close friends just complaining about our marriage, but we don't cry out to God. Just like we don't go to His Word, it sits there while we get advice from everybody else in the world, we often don't pray and cry out to God, but instead we talk to people, we complain to people, we meet with other people, we rehash how hard it is over lunch with a friend. Marriage is an opportunity to see your own sin and to cry out to God. It should make us, marriage should make you hungry for grace, desperate for God. The pain, the disappointment, the disillusionment, God never meant for that to just make you bitter. God meant for all of that to drive us to Him, to His Word, to His grace, to find a greater satisfaction in Him. Because what you'll realize quickly is your spouse cannot ultimately satisfy you or prop you up in life to keep you going. If you came into marriage thinking, oh, now I'll have someone that's going to care for me and love me and affirm me and accept me and bless me and do nothing but encourage me, then you are way off base. I hope they'll do some of that, but they also live closely with you and will see your sin and just might point it out to you, might let you know things about you that you haven't seen in ways that you should see. What do you think is going to happen if you both come into marriage with the same expectations and hopes of that other person just fulfilling your dream? It'll end up in war. It'll end up in two kingdoms in conflict. But if you both submit to God and say, God, what do you want from us? What have you called us to? When we said, I do, we didn't just say, I do to each other. We said, I do to you. You've got us on a mission now to be a billboard for Jesus Christ and His love for the church. You see, marriage is one of the main places where God can do His good work in making us more like His Son. In other words, marriage is a greenhouse for growth. We tend to think, I've grown, I've thought, I've read, I've had conversations, and I made a decision about who I wanted to marry, and now, done. We just hit cruise control, and we do life together blissfully. Oh, no, 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 no. Marriage, that day you said I do? That day I said I do, September 27th, 1986, when I said I do. Oh, that was the beginning of a massive renovation project on Brad Bigney that God intended to do. That was the beginning of growth in taking me to a place I'd never been before, in seeing myself like I'd never seen myself, and becoming more like Christ. And so there will be pain. It'll be a stretching. God is at work. In other words, when you say I do, he lays you on the workshop table of marriage and is continuing his promise to shape you and conform you to the image of his son. Remember what he said? Philippians 1:6, for I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. When you got saved, when you put your trust in Christ, that was the beginning of a good work that he wants to complete. And part of that process of completing it is going to happen in your marriage. The workshop table of marriage. And you might not think so, but there's some rough edges to be sanded out of your life, my friend, just like there were in mine and still are. There's some hard, knotty spots in the wood of your character. There's some scrapes and blemishes that need to be puttied and filled. So don't resist what God is doing in your life through your marriage. And don't blame your spouse. It's not what they're making you. They're exposing you. And say, oh God, this is not fun, but do a good work. I submit. I cry out to you. Help me. I want to become more like Christ. Oh, we're talking about saying goodbye to the fairy tale so that we can say hello to becoming more like Jesus. It's not something that gets talked about on the wedding day. There's not pictures of Jesus in the wedding album. We're not aware of Jesus milling around the room at the reception. And usually there's no conversation between husband and wife leading up to the marriage about, oh, honey, aren't you looking forward to how this is going to make us more like Christ? My sin is going to push up against you, and your sin's going to push up against me, and it's going to drive us to cry out to God and to become more like Christ. Oh, honey, I'm just looking forward to, thank you that you're going to help me. Living at close range with you is going to help me see what I've not been seeing about myself my whole life. I will get some of my sin exposed so that I can become more like Christ. But that is indeed one of the top purposes for which God gave us marriage. He's way more interested in making us more like Christ than making us blissfully happy. But don't hear what I'm not saying. If you make your goal happiness, it eludes you. You'll never get it. It'll always feel like, almost, if but just. If you make your goal holiness, becoming more like Christ, glorifying God, guess what shows up? Happiness. Oh, listen to me. I know. I fought a war with Vicky in those early years trying to hold on to me, hold on to my agenda, hold on to what I thought were my rights and what I wanted, and I was miserable, and so was she. And as I laid it down, said goodbye to the fairy tale, to the agenda, to my kingdom come, and said, God, I want to please you. Show me what I'm not seeing about me, and I want to become more like Jesus. Wow. Happiness has showed up. We have a fantastic marriage. We have a friendship and a oneness and a love that I never thought possible. But it was all on the other side of saying goodbye to a fairy tale and laying down what I'd been clinging tenaciously. What about you? Have you been tenaciously clinging to a dream? What you think has to happen? What you think you deserve? What you think you need? Would you be willing to say, God, I'm exhausted, and I trust you, and I thank you that you designed marriage to make me more like your son? Here we go. I'm ready. I'm willing. Show me what I'm not seeing about me, and I want to focus on becoming more like Christ. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney. Thank you. Thank you for joining me in the show and for wanting to see your marriage do more than just survive.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming